Good morning. It's Ashley with another Hampton Roads Perspective. And this morning, I'm here with Jeremiah Feld and Rachel Feld. They're the founders of 99 for the One. How are you both doing today?
We're great.
What is 99 for the One?
In a nutshell, 99 for the One is a mobile homeless outreach.
Okay.
Basically, what we do is we take big box trucks, food trucks, if you will, and we completely strip them on the inside, we gut them, and we convert them into a one-stop shop for the homeless.
How'd you get started doing this?
I don't know. We've always kind of had a heart for people and helping people. And we were doing missions work, like overseas, doing installing clean water systems and working with different organizations. And then we decided we had a little boy, and we moved back to the States, and we were like, you know what, let's get him some cousins to be around and some friends. So we moved back to my wife's hometown, Virginia Beach, right here. And I had never lived here. And we were riding down the road, and we saw a few guys holding some signs. And we were just curious of how we could help, you know, the problem of homelessness. And so we started 99 for the One.
Where did the name come from?
So the name comes from scripture. It's a scripture out of Luke that talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And he loses one, so he leaves the 99 that are found to find the one lost sheep. And when he finds the one lost sheep, he throws it over his shoulders, rejoicing, and he brings it home. And that's kind of how we view the homeless community, is they're the ones that are not looked at as often, not looked in the eyes, maybe not loved on as much. And we just always want to make sure that they know that someone loves them, someone's there for them. We're always going to show up. We're always going to be consistent. We just want to love them like Jesus loves us.
Do you just operate in Hampton Roads?
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
Until further notice. Yeah, we have some other things in the works. We believe that we will be nationwide. It's just a matter of time. We're only a year and a half old right now. You know, we've been growing exponentially in the last year and a half. So who
knows? It all takes time.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For right now, we're in Hampton Roads. That's our focus, the seven cities. We live in Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. We're primarily in this area. We want to branch out. We've been to Portsmouth and Suffolk.
Okay, so you say seven cities. So even though you are in Virginia Beach, you do branch out. Hampton, Newport News, Peninsula.
We haven't really gone that far yet. We've done Chesapeake, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Portsmouth, Hampton. We would like to get to some other states.
Yep.
In time.
That's right.
So is this your full-time jobs?
No, I'm actually a karate instructor for tigers.
He's a liar.
I teach tigers how to defend themselves.
That's fascinating. Let's talk about that too.
Yeah. It's very rare. I remodel houses for a living. My wife raises our two kids and teaches them how to act like adults.
I try.
Yeah. So, we do this in the best way that we can with the most time that we have left over after our priorities of family.
And everyone on our team is volunteer-based.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you
amazing.
About your team. How big is it?
Well, we have a umbrella of like 75 people, which is very large in the last year and a half. It's great. But we have about 15 core members, and they're the ones that are constantly there. We have Brian, who leads media, and Kat, who is kind of does everything else. And then we have hairstylists that come out. And I think that's one of our biggest thing, aside from we have showers in all of our vans, which is cool. But besides that, we have hairstylists that come out and just volunteer their time to cut
hair. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We have a pretty unique team. I think it's very fun. It's a very family atmosphere. We all enjoy being around each other and going out and spending time with each other outside of the ministry, which I think is super important.
And so you mentioned, we didn't go too in-depth about how you find people that are in need, but do you just drive around and look, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's actually that simple. Because if you think about it, if you live on the streets, you may or may not have a phone. You may or may not have a vehicle or a bicycle.
So they can't come to you, obviously. You have to go to them.
Yeah, you don't have an address or anything like that. So the idea is, just like with 99 for the One, with the scripture, is that the sheep is lost. It's not in a place where everyone can see it and where it can be found, because if it were that easy, it wouldn't be lost. You know, it could just make its way home. The idea is that we want to be able to search for people that are either on purpose hiding themselves to get away from society or just really out of desperation and need. They found a place to stay either in the woods or under a bridge or what have you. And it's really interesting because if you drive your car to work or wherever you're going, most likely on your path you're going to see something that resembles the marks of someone being homeless living there mm-hmm. or being there.
And every day, I mean, driving 4 in the morning when I leave the peninsula, I see the same people in the same area. Yeah. It's disheartening, but it's good to know that there's people like you guys that are going out helping people like this that need it so much. How many vans do you have currently?
We just got our fourth van. Actually, it's really interesting because we're independent. We're an independent nonprofit, but we go to Ascent Church, which launched last September.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because in that short time, less than a year, they've already been able to buy us a van. They purchased us
wow.
our fourth van.
That's great.
And then donated money to put a shower in it and everything else. Because that's one of the things that's really unique about 99 for the One is that guys can get in our vans and they can hop on, take a shower, get their hair cut by a professional,
mm-hmm.
Get a clean pair of clothes, underwear, socks, all the hygiene stuff you'd need, a pair of shoes, and literally walk off the van feeling like a brand new person. Mm-hmm. And when we started going to Ascent, the pastor, Thomas Lane, he realized that our vision and his vision is really close to the same because we want to reach people in a real easy, simple way.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way that we know to do that is just to love them directly.
Mm-hmm.
You go to them and love them right where they're at.
I think that's what's a little unique about what we do, too, is, you know, you have a lot of other homeless outreaches like soup kitchens and closets and stuff like that, which is great. It's all in need. But, you know, they're open certain times and the homeless has to
go to them,
right?
Yeah.
And so with us, we go directly to them. We're going to their house, if you will, you
yeah.
know. And we're allowing them to leave the comfort of just walking a couple steps to take a shower and get nice and clean and then going right back to where they're comfortable and not, you know, delegating times and figuring out a time for them to get to this place.
Yeah.
Like we're just driving up and parking literally on the side of the road.
Now, you mentioned these other organizations, they have, you know, they open at a certain time, they close at a certain time. What time do you guys usually go out? Or is it kind of just on the whim?
So we have scheduled days that we go out. Saturdays are our big day. We go out for about 4 or 5 hours on Saturdays. But Monday nights, we just recently started our bicycle outreach, basically. And that's on Monday nights. Our guy Hunter, he does the bicycle ministry. And then Wednesday nights we go out too. We can do showers on Wednesday nights. But
mm-hmm.
we try to keep it to 3 days a week, a couple hours in the nighttime and the evenings. And then Saturday is more like, you know, half a day kind of thing.
But there are, like, random times, like, if we've been helping a family, like, recently
yeah,
we've
yeah.
been helping a mom and two kids, and so anytime she calls and needs something,
right.
you know, we're there. So it's not necessarily just taking the vans out, but our team really getting involved and building relationships. And so if they need something, it's not like, oh, it's not Saturday, so
yeah.
we can't help. We're like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just add to that. I think that with what we do and with any job that you love and when you're involving helping people, there's really like no quitting time. And I mean, obviously
yeah.
priorities, that's one
yeah.
thing we've had to learn since we've started is
prioritizing.
That we can't let other people's needs come in front of our family.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife and my kids, I can't put them to the side to help
yes.
someone else because then what's the point?
Yeah.
But
and without your team, how are you guys going to work together to help these other
exactly,
people?
Right.
So
exactly.
you have to have your foundation solid
it has
first.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, to answer the question, yeah, we have set hours, but we're ready whenever.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you have these relationships with some of the homeless community. What is one true thing about the homeless community that you can share with our listeners?
One true thing about the homeless. I would say it's that they are honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a common thing that people think about the homeless is that they're, well, let's just say this. There is a lot of mental illness mm-hmm. in the homeless community. There's a lot. And then there's a lot of guys that are just going through bad times.
Yeah.
And then there's people that really don't give a crap, you know, and you meet all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people that want to get off the streets. Those are the ones that we try to help. But one thing I can say that's a fact about the homeless is they're generally pretty honest with their situation. they'll tell you within 5 minutes of meeting you, hey, here's where I'm at. I have this problem. I'm here. This is what happened to me. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I could meet you or anybody, and not saying you personally, yeah. but I mean like anybody
Anyone
at all.
Anyone listening right now.
They could literally be at the end of their rope, the worst time in their life.
And you would never
and
be able to tell.
They won't say anything. Mm-hmm. They won't say a thing to you. And you have to dig and pry. And sometimes it's there, but you don't know what it is. And that's the really cool thing about the homeless is that they're really
genuine.
They're really genuine, yeah, really honest. Good. And they're just like, hey, this is
they're
me.
They're human.
Because at that point, a lot of these guys don't have anything else to lose. So what's the point in being fake?
Yeah. You what's know? The point in lying, coming up with
yeah.
a fake
I mean,
story
yeah.
or whatnot?
Especially if you're in need. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna share with you what I need
yeah.
to get me out of this situation.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
honesty plays a big part.
This. I need this.
Yeah.
Well, what about one false thing about the homeless community? You hear people, you know, they have their own thoughts on homeless people. I know people that say, I'm not going to help them. They could go get a job. They could walk into this place and get a job so easy. What would you like to say about that?
You know what? One false thing about the homeless. Here's what really bothers me. And it is true for some. You see the guy, and you see these videos, right? I saw this video, this lady, she went in the McDonald's, she's asking everybody for money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, and people are giving her money, and blah, blah, blah. And then, at the end of it all, what does she do? She goes around the corner,
and
gets
in her
car.
Nice car,
yeah,
has her nice clothes on, cell phone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, there's this blanket statement being passed around that, like, all homeless are those people.
Yeah.
I've never seen
just
that.
Just stop saying that.
Yeah.
Okay, so like people are really, really hurting and they're really, really not wanting to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got jerks that go around and trick people and
yeah.
take money and scam people.
Yeah.
And the false thing that I want to say, this is false. Not everybody who's homeless is a scam artist, a drug addict,
mm-hmm.
or
a
thief.
I was just going to say, they're not bad people.
Like,
they don't want to even look them in the eyes because they're like, oh, they're going to steal my money. Or
yeah.
they're just
right.
going to get alcohol. But it's like, no, they're...
And you
look, some of them are.
That's
Let's
what
be
I was
going
to say next. I remember growing up, my dad, he was a contractor. He saw this man on the side of the road with a sign. He went up to him and said, hey man, come, I'll pay you for the day. Help me for the day.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, no, I don't want to work. Can you just give me some money? And my dad was like, no, you know,
wow.
I could, but I don't really have anything on me, but I'm offering you like a job for the day. And so my dad was driving off and he saw the man go and get in his car and then leave. Well, then the next day, my dad driving to work, same route, saw a different guy right there, offered the same thing. The dude dropped everything, got in the car with my dad, worked his butt off all day. My dad got him food, clothes, you know, did all this stuff for him, gave him a paycheck that day, just cash. And the guy was like, if you ever need anything else, like, please let me know. He didn't have an address, but he's like, you could find me like in this area.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's good and bad.
Exactly.
Just like
that's a great example.
Yeah, good and bad. You
sure.
can't judge... You know, one, what is the saying? Something about a bad apple, like one person ruins it all or something.
Yeah.
But, and plus with social media, you see all these, what's the word, like these videos that glamorize, you know, these bad types of
yeah.
no,
homeless people. And we have access to all this social media, so we see
yeah.
it. So
I think that with social media, though, and with, you know, what we do, we're a very hands-on ministry. You know, there's nothing... I try and say, like, there's nothing in between you and meeting this person. There's
yeah.
no, like, bowl of soup or a jacket. There are jackets, but you're literally out, like, having to build relationships. And so I think with our team, building those relationships and being consistent, we see the same people all the time.
Yeah.
So for us, it, like, it hurts our heart because that's our family when
mm-hmm.
people are like, oh, don't give that person money because of this. And we're like, no, actually, his name is this,
yeah.
and this is what he does. And
they
so,
dehumanize
yeah. And he's not a bum. His name's
yeah.
John.
Right.
He has a name.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. So how can people get involved with your organization?
Well, I'm waiting for the right person to go ahead and write us a check for $2.5 million.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
No, it's super easy. We're always asking for volunteers. So if you just message us on any of our social media or email address, we answer every message. And we get you plugged right into an orientation, which we like for everyone to go through just to kind of know who we are and what we do and... you know, meet the team kind of, and then start going out on the van.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really easy.
But other than volunteering and messaging, if there's, we have a lot of people that want to just give monetarily or want to set up a fundraiser or whatever in any way that's different. Some things we don't even know how people are going to help until it happens.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that was cool. I didn't even see that coming. And it's just, yeah, whatever people have to offer and you think it might help the homeless community and help us grow, we're open to it.
Yeah, for sure. And you can still just email us or send us a message. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say is your biggest need?
I would say monetary donations.
So then you could get whatever is in need for the specific family or person.
For sure. Yeah. And I think, so here's how I put it. I think that people, we're a very visual ministry. We have four vans, and then people see in the vans that we have all these clothes and stuff. And we're always in need of, you know, hygiene products, clothes, yeah. shoes, anything. And so I think that it's not that people don't want to give money. I think they think that, oh, they need this more.
Mm-hmm.
But in all actuality, we do. We have four running vans that are in constant need of repairs, gas. We have a storage unit. We have families here and there that we pay for. So, yeah, monetary donations is huge.
Other than monetary donations, one of our biggest needs is shoes.
Shoes, okay.
Shoes and we have a growing need for backpacks.
But like sneaker shoes or work shoes?
Yeah, okay. Like sneakers or work boots. Like dress shoes, probably
flip
not going to be too comfortable. But yeah, men's shoes size 9 through 12,
mm-hmm.
that'd be awesome. If anybody wants to get 300 of those to put together, we'll
take it. Do you guys have any events that you do annually or do you have any events coming up?
So we definitely have two really, really awesome events coming up that we're super excited about. The first one is August 17th. It's a Friday. It's from 6:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. and it's at the Bee and the Biscuit.
Oh, that place is good.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Before I was pregnant, I had that little mimosa thing. So nice.
Everybody loves it. It's such like, and the owners are amazing. Their mm-hmm. hearts are beautiful. So we've partnered with them. It's called A Night to Be the Change.
Aw, cute.
Yeah. So
you came up with that, right?
Yeah, right? So we're going to have live music by Bennett Wales and The Relief.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do gourmet biscuit sandwiches with sides and a dessert and then their signature drinks. We're going to have raffles and silent auction. It's just going to be outside and inside. The tickets are $49. So with your $49, you get into the event. You get a sandwich, a side, a dessert, one of the drinks, and a raffle ticket to use.
Okay.
So it's a pretty cool, like, date night thing to do.
Definitely.
It's going to be a great summer
mm-hmm.
fundraiser. And then aside from that, we have partnered with Mix It Up, and they just started a new event.
Is that the place on Shore Drive?
Yes.
Okay.
The owners there are super cool.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think we've had them come in the studio before when that root beer was, like, really popular, and they had it. And they brought it
they
in.
They have, I think, like every beer you can think of. Yeah.
A lot of specialties.
Yeah.
And they're super cool, too. And she messaged me a couple months ago, and she's like, hey, I have this idea. Like, I really want to do events. Like, this is her passion. And so it's called Halloween at Hogwarts.
Oh.
And it's, so here's the tricky thing. It's October 26th from 7 to 11:55, but it's sold out in 24 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So the exciting thing though is we know that everybody is excited about it and loves it. So we are told for everyone to keep an eye out because we are actually looking for a larger venue to expand the event so people
to
can buy tickets and attend the event because who doesn't love Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He raises his hand.
Only person.
So you mentioned a partnership that you have with them. Do you have any other partnerships?
Yeah, so currently we are partnering with Bombas Socks. They're really cool. They're a buy a pair and they donate a pair.
Okay.
But I think the coolest thing about them is the socks that they donate. Like normally the people that are buy a pair of this and will donate, the donate pair isn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs is actually better. Because they make socks for people that don't change their socks often and are constantly on their feet. So we've gotten to partner with them to give to our homeless community, which is really cool.
A local business called Soundwave Customs. They're over off Lynn Haven.
Mm-hmm.
They Ethan, he's the owner over there. He decided that he really enjoys what we do, And he has a heart himself for people. He's done a lot of work with the elderly community and retirement homes, spending time with people.
Mm-hmm.
So he understands that the basic needs of people is heart, you know what I mean? To be real and to have spending time with them. So he decided he was going to deck out some of our vans. And the last truck that we got, so Ascent Church bought our fourth van, totally flat out gave it to us. Soundwave Customs came in and they put in a stereo system, lights. They found a plumber to hook up the shower. They're mounting all of our power inverters to do haircuts, everything for free.
Well, I think one of the important things, I don't think we talked about it, but something super important in all four of our vans is we have these crazy sound systems. Like you can hear us coming down the road.
Okay. What kind of tunes do you play coming down the road?
Strictly gangster rap.
Yeah.
No.
Ice cream truck tunes.
Yeah, we're like Ludacris, get out the way. Now, so that's the thing. Like sound systems is it's really interesting because we're like at a radio station right now.
Mm.
The power of music is phenomenal.
Oh, of course.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it could make you feel so many different things. It could literally change your whole life.
Yeah.
If you hear a song.
Yeah.
But think about it like this. So like totally going off the music thing. If you step into one of our vans. Let's say you haven't had a shower in 3 weeks, which happens a lot with the guys we meet. They're honest. They're like, look, last time I showered was a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, I need a shower. So they hop on the vans and we have the music going. So we have, it's like, it's not just
the
like a
vibe, everything about being in there.
It's not just like a regular car stereo. It's like amplifiers, subwoofers, like a legit competition kind of sound.
But they hop on and we ask them, like, what's your favorite music? What's something that you want to listen to? And they, it's cool to me because that is one thing that we get told all the time. Like, oh, they'll tell their friends, they let you listen to your own music.
That's awesome.
So we plug it in and we turn it up and we close all the doors and they just have this moment of silence and this moment to themselves in a hot shower listening to their music, and they'll come out in tears sometimes, and it's really very cool. It's something that I think we take for granted.
So that's one of our partners is Soundwave Customs. He offers the music and the lights. They do so much more than audio, but partnering with people like that is really what we want to do. We want to meet people.
You can make it work that way. Help more.
Yeah.
Offer more.
That's why we go to the church that we go to too, because we share the same vision with where we're going, you know, and how to help people. It's not just like a random thing and random people. It's like, no, we feel like we're really in sync with these people we're partnering with.
Do you work with any other homeless organizations?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think people's idea is that we're all in competition, right? Because, like, we all work with the homeless.
How can you move forward if you're all in competition? You have
exactly. But I feel like we've heard it more often than not.
Yeah.
But it's not true. We actually sit down once a month with all the homeless organizations that I think
great.
We could think of in Virginia Beach. And even the HRC building, we sit down with them and the people at PIN and JCOC and Blankets for the Homeless and the Potter's House and the Lighthouse, everyone else we could think of. And we all sit down because I think we understand that we all have the same heart and the same passion, but we all do something just a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So if we all come together, we can do so much more.
Yeah.
We constantly want to work with people that do the same thing. And Aid Now, we work with them now, which is really cool.
That being said, I would like to make a public challenge to PIN Ministries. I'd like to challenge them to dodgeball.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. Dallas Stamper.
I would lose. I get hit right in the face.
Well, as we come to the end of our interview, one thing I always like to ask our interviewees is there anything you would like to leave with Hampton Roads today?
Don't be afraid to get out there and do something that you feel you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I would absolutely encourage anybody out there, just because you were raised a certain way, or just because you look a certain way, or just because people think that you're a certain way, it doesn't mean that you have to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there, do something that you're called to do. Because sitting on the couch isn't going to get you anywhere. And you're going to look back 30 years from now, and you're going to be like, why didn't I do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing.
And I would say a smile goes a long way.
Well, thank you both for coming in today. Again, where can our listeners get more information?
On Instagram or Facebook at 99 for the one.
Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks for having us.